It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Mark,
happy new year to you.
Oh, yes.
And some of the issues we've dealt with in the past are still what we deal with. Anxiety, depression, one of the most diagnosed problems in America,
mm-hmm.
continuing.
Sure, certainly. Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's picking up steam a little bit because of so much anxiety in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And what feels like maybe the end of Western civilization. Before we went on the air, you were saying you've been counseling people who are like worrying about just mm-hmm. even the end times, and is America going to survive mm-hmm. a lot of the conflicts that are going yeah. on? And you're actually dealing with people who have fears about even this kind of thing.
Yeah, and I have, it's been a bit of a surprise, but in the last couple of years, I've been, my clients have been increasingly a population, an older population.
Sure.
60s, 70s,
mm-hmm.
80s.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I even have a person in the 90s. So.
Wow. So they remember the good old days, so to
they
speak.
They remember the good old days.
And the things are changing
yeah.
quite a bit, quite very quickly.
You mentioned depression, and anxiety is something that will lead to depression. I have said depression is what happens when you don't handle anxiety. Depression mm. is about helplessness. Anxiety is about helplessness, mm-hmm. and depression is about hopelessness. So that's kind of giving up. People, there's an 85% correlation, comorbidity, anxiety, depression. That's a high comorbidity, high correlation, and it suggests that there it's more of a continuum than two distinct things. So not necessarily. I think that the older folks recognize would come and recognize it as anxiety. That might be as I'm sitting here thinking about it, that might be something that they would talk more about. Whereas younger people would talk about the stressors, job loss, going through a divorce, et cetera, mm. Whereas older folks, where those things aren't issues, and they're it's just a general anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, I think you would call it that, general anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been dealing with that a lot. And as I get older, I can relate to that entirely.
I can too.
Yeah, I mean, for younger people, you say when they're stressed or anxiety, you kind of direct them to have a goal, have a purpose, be heading towards something. But when you're 60, 70, 80, 90, most of those goals are behind
sure.
you,
and yeah, more so, practical, down yeah. to rubber meets the road kinds of issues.
And so it's just the general anxiety. So what to do about it? You know, some of the stressors that people, a person that I was talking to just recently, trying to track back where the anxiety comes from, and he said right off the bat, he said, I listen to a lot of news.
Sure.
And there's,
right.
I mean.
Well, in news, you know, if it bleeds, it leads more than ever,
yeah.
and so many sources yeah. of news just really stir things up.
Yeah. And,
but you don't want to feel like you are putting your head in the sand
yeah,
either,
that,
because you
right.
want to be an informed citizen.
You want to be informed, and then what to do about it. So some of the things, obviously, we have to kind of pick and choose and realize how much bandwidth we have, and then also for Christians, as we develop the program here today, as Christians, we want to keep a balance, and so. You know, we have a lot of wars going on, and you know, this whole thing of AI, artificial intelligence,
yeah.
and that is really picking up speed. I don't know if people who have social media accounts notice. I've noticed recently a plethora of advertisements for Dr. Oz and some of his medications that he's coming up. And what I've noticed is that those are all artificial intelligence, because it looks like a credible person is advertising this,
mm.
but that's not what's going on. It isn't. They're, and if you look at the words, don't sync with the mouth movement.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've taken it, they've cut and pasted a person there, and then and a voice recognition thing.
So people are like anxious about this. They can't trust even advertising.
You can't trust anything. My wife was talking about, I had this odd thing where, you know, spell check was being really crazy. I'm just typing in words and they're correct, like not very complicated words. Let's say, for example, of. OF.
Okay.
And the artificial intelligence spell check didn't like of, and it was marking that as a misspelled word. So it's just craziness going on out there. Politics. Boy, there's a lot in the news in politics now, and you know, talking about, you know, what's going to happen with the Constitution, those kinds of the economy.
So many things that crazy. That we feel really, in many ways, are really out of the individual citizen's control.
And that's a big part
out
of
control.
Out of control.
I can't control that, this.
Yeah, we've talked about everyone needs to feel valued. Everyone needs to feel they have control of what impacts their lives, and everyone
less
needs
than
to feel
more resources. Than ever, people have no control.
Yeah. And resources. Mm-hmm. So value, control, and power. We've done so many shows on on value, control, and power. That's kind of one of the touchstones of a lot of what I do. But yeah, we have all these things. I was thinking about kind of the economy, and saw something the other day that was has been confirmed in a couple of different. Ways where, you know, the world seems like it's controlled by a handful of very wealthy people, and these wealthy people are building gigantic dwellings underground, you know, like bomb, you know, I think Zuckerman has a 50,000 square foot
bomb shelter.
Complex,
sure.
You know,
yeah, people of means have that kind of ability.
Yeah, down in Hawaii, and so they sense something that is going on. I was thinking of Luke 21 where it
Doomsday
talks about
preppers.
Luke 21 where it talks about the age of the Gentiles coming to an end, and that to me that seems like Western culture, but. Signs and perplexities in the sun and the moon and the stars. And
but talk about things that are totally out of anyone's control.
Yeah.
And to be stressing about this, it seems like, why?
Yeah.
But the fact is people are stressed by these kinds of big issues.
Yeah, they are. Mm-hmm. Somebody said the other day,
people are stressed about the weather. They think they can change the weather.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole other can of worms.
But. And high-flying airplanes leaving streams and things. People really get freaked out about it. The other day, somebody had said to me, and as he said that, I thought, oh, that's true for me too. It's not exactly research, but it was an interesting thought. He said he had never met a strong believer who had seen a UFO. Hmm. I haven't either. All of the people that have seen the UFOs seem to be people that aren't believers. So I was thinking about lying signs and these different things that are –
Well, we could get into all kinds of subjects here with end time scenarios potentially.
Yeah.
If there's a big pre-tribulation rapture, how's that going to be explained? Obviously, by a UFO incident.
Yeah.
But that's a whole nother can of worms. But again, these are all such big issues.
Mm-hmm.
Fear, anxiety, that are just all speculation. Mm-hmm. So much of it is.
Yeah.
So what are we to do?
Speculation. And it affects – and people are concerned about how these things affect their personal lives. Mm. When it comes right down to it, it affects the quality of life. And it gets back to value, control, and power, or I like to say power or resources. Quality of life. A lot of people are concerned – about the quality of their children's lives or the quality of their grandchildren's lives. So these are the things. So this brings me to kind of the crux of what I wanted to talk about today, and that is something I've talked about before: is managing the inbox. Managing anxiety is managing life. Mm-hmm. Managing anxiety is managing life.
Okay.
These things are beyond our control, but as believers. We don't have to control these things, and I think one of the things that believers have to come back to.
And God is in control.
God is in control. Mm-hmm. And everything that God had planned to do is right on schedule.
Yeah, you're not surprised by
nothing is going wrong as far as God is concerned. Everything is going exactly as it should, exactly as it must, exactly as he... So, and it's kind of hard for us to... You know, that I'm thinking it's a Psalms, why do the heathen rage, and mm-hmm. and these questions. So as I say, managing anxiety is managing life, and managing life is what I call managing the inbox. Yeah. So every life is an inbox, and we know what the inbox is. That's the unfinished work. And the unfinished work in my life will have to do with my sense of personal value, my sense of control, my sense of having resources, power or resources. So in managing the inbox, the first step that I have people do is when they feel the anxiety, they have to they follow the anxiety back to its source. Now, there's a couple of kinds of anxiety here. There's a primary anxiety and then what I call a secondary anxiety. The primary anxiety is the thing that's causing the stress itself. Say, for example, you've got a low tire and you don't have time to get to the service station to get it pumped up. It's been low, has a slow leak. It's been there for weeks and you've just never been able to fix it. So every time you get in your car and go somewhere, you've got a stressor. So that's in your inbox. That tire's in your inbox. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you know that that's the problem, there's an easy fix for that. You've just, you got to get to the service station. But the secondary anxiety is that there's so much stuff in the inbox that you don't know where the anxiety is coming from. That's what they would call like a general anxiety, where you feel, and I've heard people express this way, and I've felt this, where it just comes on you like a cloud. You can be having a normal day, and just in a moment, a cloud of anxiety will come on you, and you don't know where it's coming from. Mm. It's just helplessness, even hopelessness, even like toward depression. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. Anxiety. Another word for anxiety is fear, mm-hmm. and fear is something that Jesus actually talked about quite a bit. He says, "Do not be afraid. Mm-hmm. Do not fear." I think actually throughout the Bible, that seemed like God's first response mm-hmm. is, don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. So he must have known, even back then, when things were even less complicated.
Well, fear comes from our mortality. Everybody is afraid. And we've talked about this before, where everybody's afraid because we're all mortal. Mm-hmm. And we do have this death sentence that we can't do anything with. Everybody has shame. And so, yeah, the Bible talks a lot about that because it's really the root of our fallen nature. It's, Adam and Eve were created naked and not ashamed. Mm. That is, they didn't have questions of worth, of value, of control, and of power. They didn't have those questions. But immediately after they sinned, that was the result of their sin. Their fallen nature was, it's all about fear and shame. Mm-hmm. And you can't really think of any behaviors that we have that don't have something to do with that. When we come back from our break, I want to talk about the inbox and talk about beliefs, emotions, behaviors. And then I want to kind of key in on half a dozen things that are fundamental to Christian mental health. Not really easy, but pretty simple. When we come back.
Okay, managing anxiety means managing that inbox. Good review here for the new year. People are intrigued by your approach to these subjects, Daniel. They want to know more, maybe how you can help them with your counseling services. How do they get in touch with you?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also can email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you'll also find these radio podcasts. Offices, Kirkland and Edmonds, and doing quite a lot of virtual through Zoom.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just moments.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, continuing our discussion on managing anxiety and managing what Daniel calls the inbox. Good refresher content today on the Sound Mind show. So, Daniel, what are some things we need to keep in mind about that inbox?
Yeah, so first of all, I have people try to follow the anxiety back to the pain, where it hurts the most, because we got to find out what's in that inbox. So generally often talk to people who, they feel the anxiety, but they're not sure where it's coming from. That's the secondary anxiety. I don't know what's in the inbox, and that brings anxiety. So I need to trace it back. It is possible to do this. Gals actually catch on to this pretty quick. It's a little more work for guys, but if you can imagine you've bruised your knee and you're kind of poking around trying to find the center of the bruise where it really hurts, and that's kind of similar. Another analogy might be trying to think of the scariest or the freakiest thing that you could think of doing, climbing Mount Everest without any ropes, or, what would be the most frightening thing, a free fall or something. And as you imagine something that would frighten you, you could say, well, I can think of something that would frighten me more. And you think of that thing, and then, I can think of something that would be even more frightening. And eventually you get to the place where you don't even want to go any further because you're beginning to really feel the fright. This is similar to what I talk to people about following the anxiety, where you feel the anxiety and you start thinking about the things that you would be anxious about, and you can think of something that you're more anxious about. And eventually you get back to what kind of like really resonates as that's where that fear is coming from. I was talking to somebody the other day, as I think I've mentioned earlier in the show, about just this general anxiety. And I was asking him, where is the anxiety coming from? And as he thought about it, he said, I listen to a lot of news. Mm-hmm. And so we could even go further. What is it in the news that is most frightening? He might say something like, well, it's the politics. Or he might say, well, even more frightening than the politics is the economy. And so eventually he would get to where the root of that anxiety, and he would put a marker. Okay, this is one of the things that's in my inbox. One of the things that came out of that discussion was concern for his grandchildren. That's also in the inbox.
Sure.
Then another thing was then that was in the inbox was not knowing the future of his income. Well, okay, that would be in the inbox. So you would put these things in the inbox, and maybe you'd come up with like a half a dozen key things. Now, some of the things in the inbox are things that have been in our life for a long time. They have to do with shame. They have to do with self-image, doubt, lack of confidence. And we could even go further and maybe in some of those things be even more specific about them. But so some of the things have been in the inbox for a long time. What tends to happen in the inbox is something will work its way to the top of the inbox, and that will be the main stressor. And so when I can identify what that stressor is, I have to have a fix for it. I have to have a resolution for it. So the first question is, what's in my inbox? The second question is, what can I do about it? So let's say we've figured out a half a dozen things that are in our inbox. Some of those things are pretty immediate, like the tire that's going flat. Mm. That's not too difficult to deal with. But the economy might be something that's more difficult to deal with. Mm. Maybe global unrest would be something that's – and maybe childhood injuries to my person, insults, failings, maybe those things. When those things work their way to the top, and I say, what can I do about that? For some of these things, the answer is simply, oh, that's the one that I always pray about. I always pray. And when I say pray about it, I'm talking about I pray about it until I have peace. So let's say I've identified in my inbox, say, for example, Let's say you've got a child that's wandered away from the Lord, and that's in your inbox. And you can be going through the day, and you, all of a sudden an anxiety comes on you, and you don't know where it's coming from. But as you begin to trace it back, you realize, oh, it's anxiety about my son or my daughter. That's what it is. What can I do about that? Well, maybe you've come to a place in that relationship where you realize the only thing you can do is pray. And what you need to do then is you need to just take the time and pray about that until you have peace. Until you have peace, then you've dealt with it. And so then it goes to the bottom of the pile. It's not out of the inbox because it's not out of the inbox until your loved one has repented and you know that. So it goes to the bottom of the pile, but it comes back again. It will work its way back up to the top. And when it does, and you identify it, you say, oh, that's the one that I pray about. Then there are other practical things. You know, we're going to be coming into tax time here, and some people are going to have anxiety. And when they think about when they start thinking about where is that coming from, they're going to think, oh, yeah, it's tax time.
Right.
And so that's going to be in the inbox. And then you have to ask yourself, what can I do about it? And then you have to take the steps to do something about it. Mm. So we're labeling the inbox, and then we're having a fix for where is the anxiety coming from? Where's the anxiety coming from? Now, I've got a note here, above all, so managing anxiety is managing life, or in other words, it's managing the inbox. You have to manage the inbox every day. Mm-hmm. And above all, you have to manage your beliefs, because every emotion comes from a belief. You have certain emotions because you have certain beliefs. And the beliefs that result most in anxiety or depression are beliefs about my value, my control, and my power or my resources. So they're beliefs about my safety and security. Those are the ones that cause anxiety. And so I wanted to kind of work toward, not easy, but simple solutions. And these are just things that Scripture says these things. We have to believe them as true, and we have to find out how they are true. And so almost all of my clients are believers because they hear the radio show, and that's how I get clients. So they're almost all believers, which is just great because we've got a firm foundation to work from, and we're not just chasing symptoms. I mean, I have a good solid business of Christian believers who have anxiety and depression, and so I say, what is it about that? Well, I experienced that too. And it's like
me too.
Just coming to it's like God is building our faith. So this is not something to be ashamed of or something to feel. Am I weird? Am I different? This is the process that we're going through. This is the working out of our salvation. Jesus said in John 8, he said, you know, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So we know that the truth will set us free from our anxiety and our depression. Now, it may not be something where you realize a certain scripture, and from that day on, you never have anxiety or depression. It doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. It's line upon line, precept upon precept.
A day at a time.
It is. Mm-hmm. Every day brings new things into the inbox, and new challenges. So, but the truth will set us free. So what we're really after ultimately is our beliefs. And so I wanted to point out like five things here that are really fundamental. And so we can always come back to this. As I just pointed out from John chapter 8, 32, the word is very important. People view the word in different ways. You can view the word topically, talk to people who go to a church where the pastor or the teacher, maybe it's more of a teacher than a pastor. You know, the difference is a pastor cares for the people, whereas a teacher
doesn't.
There are a lot of men and women out there that go under the title of pastor, but they really don't necessarily have a pastor's heart. They might have
evangelist.
You might be more of an evangelist or more of a teacher. Hopefully, there are some people in the congregation with the pastor's heart. But they'll teach. Just going through the scripture, like taking a book and going through the book. Others will be topical. they'll pick a scripture here and a scripture there, and they'll speak topically. So, and there are different ways to read the scripture. You know, reading through the Bible in a year, or just, you know, opening it up and reading it someplace. Every time you read the Bible, you don't necessarily get a charge. Sometimes it's like taking daily vitamins. But there should be a way of reading the Bible or reading portions of the Bible that that you get excited about. Mm-hmm. So the word is important. Fellowship is absolutely important, and that's been difficult in the post-COVID, and a lot of churches have changed their and when you get older, and when you get older and your personality starts to shrink a little bit, that's another show, and you have fewer friends, you still have to find ways to fellowship. Mm-hmm. That is just absolutely fundamental. You've got to find ways to fellowship. Another one is in Philippians 4 is, you know, giving thanks, be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and thanksgiving and supplication, you know, let your requests be known to God, and the peace that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That is an absolute truth, and so we have to figure out how that works. But, it starts with, in all things, with prayer and giving thanks. Mm-hmm. The next one is putting on Christ, Romans 13:12. It talks about, putting on Christ, and not walking as the world walks, but putting on Christ. And we could kind of compare that with Ephesians 6, where it talks about putting on the armor of God. And I've heard sermons on this where they emphasize the armor, but I want to emphasize the pieces of the armor are the fact that it is armor. So I know people that every morning they get up and they quote unquote put on the armor. Mm. But kind of missing the point here, so I want to read this really quickly. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, putting on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then I jump all the way down to verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. The armor is truth, righteousness, gospel, the gospel, salvation, and the word of God. It's not so much that you can just say I put these things on in the morning. It, just as you cannot just say, well, every morning I put on Christ. I just say I put on Christ. That's not what Paul was talking about. We're talking about a lifestyle. So when we put on the armor of God, we're not just saying in the morning, I put this on, I put on the helmet, this is a lifestyle of truth, of righteousness, of faith, of the knowledge of the gospel, the working out of our salvation and the word of God. So I kind of flew through those. Again, if you need a lot of times, people come to me and they say, I don't have fellowship. I don't have anybody that I can talk to about this. And that's fine, and I'm glad to do that and encourage people in ways of how to find fellowship and how to make these fundamental things that I've mentioned here, how to make them feel real and so that we are building our faith and having the peace and having the joy that Christ promises us, even surrounded by, things. I tell people that, yeah, there's bad news, but there's a lot of great news. So many wonderful things going on in the body of Christ. And as we said earlier, God's plan is right on time and right on schedule.
Okay, managing anxiety here in the new year, some great tips. And if you need more help, how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also contact me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you find these podcasts also, offices, Kirkland Edmonds, and Zoom these days, lots of Zoom.
Okay, Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.